I did a couple of interviews about the local economies event that was the Time Bank kind of hosted, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get to go to it because I was busy. But what have you heard about that?
Well, I didn't make it either, but I heard that there were at least 40 people. I think there were 42 or something that were there.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty impressive turnout, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good sign. Yeah, so a great turnout. I heard really positive things about it, the feedback I've been getting. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
From Time Bank Guardians as well. They've been saying what a great event it was. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And I think there's lots of they've been talking about lots of follow-up stuff to go to that they're planning now as well.
Okay.
Mm.
For people who wondering what we're talking about, you can check the raglanradio.com website and see the articles that we did with. We did actually did two on that one. The most recent one was with Brian Innes, who was doing the talk.
Yeah, and if you go to the Time Bank Raglan Facebook page, I've actually posted a link directly to your interview as well. And that I heard a couple of Time Bank members yesterday said that they actually, after the event on the weekend, they actually listened to your interview.
Okay.
And said that they found it really helpful to listen to the interview again because it, like, just hearing everything over.
Yes, yeah, sort of new concepts for a lot of people, and it sometimes you do need to hear it quite a few times to get it to sink in properly.
That's right, But like a couple of things there, it's like if you want to keep an eye on what else the Time Bank's planning around this space, you can go to their Time Bank Raglan Facebook page. It's a good way to start. Or if you don't have Facebook, although I think public Facebook pages are actually visible to anyone who doesn't have a Facebook page anyway, a Facebook profile.
Yeah, if you can get Google to search it right, then you can have a look.
Yeah, that's right. But also you can email timebank@whaingaroa.org.nz if you want more information.
And just for people wondering exactly what we were talking about, it was discussions about
economies for people, not profit.
Yeah, diverting money from the banking system, which sucks a lot of money out of local economies, and using things like Time Bank is one obvious one, but also savings pools, land trusts and local currencies. Those were the sort of things that were being discussed, or I was expecting to be discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you had a science night in the last week or so as well.
Yeah, we did, because we have a monthly science night. And the one, the last one was it was Soil to Supper was the topic.
Yeah.
So we were really fortunate to host. We had two guest speakers for that event. We had Shai Brode from Kaimana Gardens out at Ruapoki and Sarah Oliver from Flowering Bean Organic Farm. And so they were just speaking about their food growing systems and sharing some of their knowledge that they've gained from experience as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a really good turnout again. Like that, it's just held in that front bar, so that's basically packed for the 1 hour of science night.
That's at the Harbour View.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I'm still confirming this month's science night, so it's best to just keep an eye on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
On our comms to see what's coming up. But out of that event, because that was talking about food growing systems, out of that event, a few other events have spawned out of that. And one of them was that there was a growers gathering that came out of that, that Liz Stanway and Tanya, our food coordinator, hosted. And that had a really good turnout as well. Yeah. So that was looking at people who want to upscale their produce, their vegetable patches, and look at ways to even just upscaling, but ways that they can get their produce out to the community as well, like alternative ways. And
okay.
Yeah, so I think that there's going to be, Liz and Tanya are planning a second growers gathering because it got such good feedback. And looking at, a second event, so keep an eye on that as well.
And one of the obvious ways that we've got now in the community for getting your produce out, if you've started doing that, is the growers market, which had its first summer last summer, and amongst all the lockdowns and things and restrictions. But what are the plans for the coming summer?
Yeah, so that is one of the ways for you to share your produce if you're wanting to actually make an income, or look at making income, or look at supporting the growers market, which is trying to create a starting platform to increase the productivity of produce being grown in Whaingaroa instead of importing it all.
Yeah.
So the growers market, it was really successful last summer, spring summer, finishing at the end of April. And so that we're hoping, we'd really like to be able to kick it off again on October the 14th, Friday. Yeah. So it runs every Friday from 4 to 7pm at on Stewart Street. But we're just about to open registrations, hopefully in the next couple of days, or expressions of interest, I should say.
Yeah.
So that's just if you just want to talk to Tanya, the coordinator, about the possibility, but you don't want to commit to anything yet, we're opening expressions of interest. We just want to try and gauge whether we can start it on the 14th of October, really.
Okay, whether people
or
will
whether
be ready.
Or whether we need to wait a few more weeks.
Whether the produce will have grown
right.
Basically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So I'll be putting a form up. It'll just be a very, very basic form with your name and contact details and if you've got any idea of whether you'd be ready to start on the 14th of October or not, or later on, I'll be putting that out today, tomorrow. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it all depends. Like, I'm not the growing expert. I don't know if they would have need to have planted things already. Well, and I guess it depends. It's a case-by-case basis, depending what type of plant it is. But
ideally, you've been prepping your garden beds.
Yeah.
I mean, there. Of course, there's winter vegetables. They still continue. But for summer produce, ideally, you've been prepping them. Yeah. We're start of August, mid-August. So, yeah, you'd probably start sowing pretty soon. Yeah.
There's been a lot of pruning going on at our place as well.
Yeah, definitely pruning season. We actually had a pruning workshop we held a couple of weeks ago over at the Oran Park Fruit Forest.
Yes.
Yeah, and that had a really good turnout, but good response. That was a free pruning workshop with Liz Stanway and Manu Moana.
Okay.
And they held a working bee afterwards, and they only got through half of the trees. So, it started with an actual proper workshop, and because it was a free workshop, like educational workshop, we asked people to hang around and help prune some of the trees.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is good. That's a win-win situation that they get. They get to reinforce their learning.
That is part of it. You've
the
got
trees
Liz
benefit.
And, yeah, you've got Liz and Manu right there with you, like doing hands-on practice. After the workshop,
yeah. Mm. They're real. I know Liz. I don't know. I haven't talked with Manu about his pruning experience, but I know Liz has had a long history and experience of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so we've talked about things that have happened. What about what's coming up?
Oh, well, I mean, following on, like we've held a couple of small cooking or food demos before.
Yeah.
One of them we held, it was a feed your bottling demonstration, but we've been talking about what we've been wanting to hold more cooking demonstrations as well. And out of Soil to Supper, we've started, it's called Soil to Supper, and it'll be a different product to different type of produce to learn how to prepare.
Yeah.
And so we've got one coming up at the end of this month, which is going to be with Mushrooms by the Sea. So that's going to be a demonstration on cooking mushrooms. But they're also going to be educating you about safe foraging,
like for mushrooms. That's important.
What things to be careful of and stay away from, like the health and safety of mushroom foraging, because they don't want people going out and foraging, because that's how they started, how they got into mushrooms was during the first lockdown. They spent lockdown foraging for wild mushrooms in the paddocks around their house.
Yeah, we did an interview with them. Oh, must have been quite a few months ago now. But yeah, it's a nice it's a nice lockdown story.
Yeah, it is. I actually heard the one that they did on RNZ.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is a really nice lockdown story. Yeah, that is a lockdown success, Mushrooms by the Sea. So yeah, they'll be holding the demonstration. So that'll be at the end of the month. We haven't put that up with all the details yet. We're just finalising a couple of little things, like what dish they're going to be demonstrating and things like that. But keep an eye out for that as well.
Okay, so they're experts on cooking it as well as...
They are,
I'm sure they would be. I mean, why else would you start if you didn't like it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I follow their Instagram, and they definitely come out with some really amazing mushroom dishes, that's for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they do, like, it's been a while since I spoke to them. Are things still going well for them?
I believe so.
They said during the second lockdown, because they got set up after the first one, then when the second serious lockdown hit, that's when they noticed they got a heap of web traffic.
That's right, yeah, because it's also like, grown mushrooms is a nice activity to have during lockdown. I know, because I'm actually their neighbour as well. So I was watching their new shed go up and, you know, their upscaling process. Yeah. And I ordered, I think, at least 3 mushroom growing kits off them to send to friends and family. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
During lockdown, yeah.
So what else is coming up for the Environment Centre?
Our community gardens keep trucking along, yep. And we still are holding our working bees twice a month. So they happen on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday every month from 3 until 4:30. So you can find the community gardens on Wenera Street behind the police station there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, so they're doing really well, actually, because we've got those beautiful new boxed gardens that Manu built.
Because there was a workshop to do that, wasn't it?
There was a workshop.
You guys are cunning.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. If we need to organise something to be built, we may as well use that opportunity as an education for educational purposes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah. Yep. And you also had, like, you just had that, didn't you? And you had
with
seeds.
Community garden working bee was yesterday. And yeah. Then what has also started recently is prior to the working bee, we hold what's called Share a Seed. So Tanya hosts that. And that is, it's just, a lot of people would have noticed our free seed stand that we have outside of the Environment Centre at the Town Hall.
Yes, yep.
So that just gets rolled out whenever any of us are working in the centre,
yeah.
In the hub. And so you can just help yourself to any of the seeds that are there at the time. And you can also fill a punnet, a 6L punnet with actual seed raising mix that we have there as well, and just get it started and take it home and water it straight away to okay, start yeah. going.
I often see people picking through when it's summer and I've got the door open and I can see. Yeah. Yeah, there's always people coming up having a nosy.
It's really popular. Yeah, yeah. It's been doing really well. It's exciting to see that, actually, because you know, that seed stand, they're all seeds that come out of our seed bank, and the seed bank is kept topped up by locals who are getting the seeds from their own gardens. So they're all vegetables, like seeds that have come from produce that's been grown locally, and obviously that means that plant did really well, produced really well, if it produced that many seeds as well.
Yeah.
And so what isn't out on the seed stand is kept in our vault, which is below room temperature, and that's our seed bank, which has been used in the past when needed.
Is that the old safe?
Yeah, it's the old safe walk-in yeah. vault.
No one really knows, but I think it was a council office or something once.
Yeah, they must have kept a lot of money in there, gold.
Yeah, treasure. Yeah, and there's old. If you go up in the roof space, which is I'm the only person who does that because we've got cables running through there, but you can see old council there's old council documents sitting on top yep. of there. Obviously, hopefully not ones that they ever wanted, but
Really?
There's a big old.
We should have a look.
Big old safe. I don't think it'll be very juicy stuff. But yeah, the history of the building.
Who knows, Aaron?
Who knows? But anyway, there's a very useful storage room come out of it for the seed. But the seed, I like that. The seed vault reminds me of that one that's in Norway on that island. Svalbard.
Yeah, that one's really cool, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all like the seeds of the world.
A mini version of that.
Yeah.
The Whangaroa.
Yep.
Yeah, and so people, if they've been growing things at their place, they can contribute seeds, obviously.
Yeah, and this is the thing, that this is the reason why this Share a Seed get together that happens twice a month is really valuable, because, like, you might have a really amazing vegetable garden, but you've never actually gathered the seeds yourself and you don't know how to do it.
Yep.
So what you can do is you can just, like, come along to this event. You might not even have seeds to bring at the time, but it gives you an opportunity to just, like, you're just sitting around a table chatting, sorting seeds, topping up that free seed free seed stand, the containers up there. You're sorting them into little packets if you want, and then you're getting, like, sharing, learning from other people who have got a wealth of knowledge. You know, it's a very nice little social time that happens. So it's like, you know, it's just so it's, yeah, the 2nd and 4th Tuesday at 2:30 to 3:00. So it's only like half an hour they're sitting there doing that.
Yeah.
And that, once again, that is either at the community gardens or at the centre hub here at the town hall.
But check your guys' Facebook page, the Whangaroa Environment Centre Facebook page.
Yeah, we're constantly creating Facebook events for stuff like
that. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Yep.
Have we covered everything? Oh, it's a Time Bank Garage.
Yeah,
Time Bank Garage sale.
Oh, yep. We talked about. Oh, did we not? Okay. Yeah. This is it's a very popular event that happens once or twice a year, maybe a couple of times a year.
I don't know. Yeah. Do you know what? I haven't really.
Have you not been?
No, I didn't even know it was happening at all. I must have talked about it with you in the past, but I can't remember.
Probably the only garage sale I go to.
Right.
It's a really good one. I always find treasures. So the Time Bank Garage Sale, it always happens at Meredith's house at 6 Norrie Ave. So it's the house that's on the corner of Norrie and Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah. Just in her garage downstairs there, out of the garage. And that is so all the Time Bank members contribute, treasures and... I've always found really cool stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So that when will that be?
So that is going to be this Sunday. It's very last minute.
Yep.
This Sunday at 9 o'clock. Don't be one of those people that shows up to garage sales early. That's really mean.
I was just talking with Debs about the creative market and the people who turn up to the creative market early.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. Don't turn up at 9 o'clock at the garage sale.
Yep.
Do that. Then
from 9 to 11.
Then wander down to the market, which is starting at 10. Yes.
Yep. That's how you should do it, folks. I think they time it like that deliberately, actually. That's probably why this one's so last minute, because it's like, well, let's get in there.
Yeah. No, that's really helpful. Yeah.
Cool.
And I know you haven't started work on Maui Dolphin Day, but I just wanted to check, because that was likely to be March next year. If at all, is because we're still under the orange restriction settings, are we, for COVID?
Like, yeah, I think Maui Dolphin Day can go ahead. It's just under red. Much impossible.
Yeah, I'm only vaguely aware of where we're at these days with that. It's just kind of like a permanent state.
I think probably the only thing that is being talked, really trying to be reminded, getting people to do, is wear masks and side places like supermarkets and things like that, because you're trying to stop the spread of even just a cold, if you have a cold, because that's where every member of society, they don't have a choice about going to the supermarket to buy food. So when you've got vulnerable members of the community who are really susceptible to picking stuff up and it can actually harm them quite significantly, it's just, the polite thing to do is make sure you don't spread your germs to other people.
And I think we add the chemist to that list as well.
Yeah, the chemist.
Because you know there's going to be – people are already sick when they go there.
I just wear it in shops in general.
Yeah. I know it's hard to – sometimes it's hard to remember. A lot of people I struggle to remember. Mm. I've got to admit.
Yeah.
To be open about that.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the world we're living in, the orange settings. And that's the story from the Environment Centre. Thank you, Jasmine, for coming in.
No problem. Thank you very much.